Recordings have now started. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Laura. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CWG on Use of Country and Territory Names, the CLDs, on Monday, 8th of June 2015. On the call today, we have Heather Forrest, Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Annabeth Lang, Cheryl Langdonor, Liana Tazik, Susan Payne, Jordi Peroguire, Ron Sherwood, Griffin Barnett, Jap Akahis, Paul Schindler, and Yuka Bracken. We received no apology for today's call. And from staff, we have Bart Buswinkle, Lars Hoffman, Patrick Jones, and myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Annabeth.
Thank you, Natalie. Then we'll give it a start, and I will try to lead you through the discussion today. And as the first issue on the agenda, we have the review of the comments submitted to the option paper on the treatment of two letter codes. And Lars, you have put it out so we can all see it, and it has been sent out to everyone as well. So, and thank you very much for the activity you have shown to send in submissions. This is most useful for the way forward. And as you know, Lars has systemized the submissions into the Section 114 potential options for the use of two letter codes. And in addition to those already included in the documents received, we had a few comments from other people. I don't think Yap's comment has been included, and neither has Youngham or Mirjana and Elisa Lindeberg from the Governmental Advisory Committee. And I suppose you, Lars, will include these together with comments received during the conference call, so that we have the best possible starting point before Buenos Aires.
Good.
We see already that there are differences in use and how two-letter codes should be treated. But as I see it, our mission is not to decide, but to put on the table the different views with benefits and risks for the different options. And in that way, I think we have done quite a good progress since last time. It would be useful if anyone participating in this call that haven't already given their view could do so. So please, I leave the floor to you now. And anyone have a comment on this?
Susan Payne.
Susan, I think Annabeth? You have the floor.
Susan? Annabeth, this is Heather. Could I get in the queue?
Yes. Hi, Heather. Okay.
Susan? Ready for me now?
Are you there?
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment about input from the GNSO. This document went out to the GNSO a bit slower than it went to the CCNSO, and it's entirely my fault. I was overseas and I was ill. We did have an update to the GNSO Council that happened on Lars might be able, or Carlos might be able to help me with the actual date. It was May 18th, I think. In any event, Council is aware of what we're doing. Council is aware of our request for information. We've gotten back a few comments from GNSO councillors, but not many. So it's really just to apologize. We're probably a week and a half behind the CCNSO in terms of getting comments from the GNSO, and for that, I apologize.
But that's okay, Heather. We don't have that rush, and as the GNSO doesn't have the same procedure as CCNSO, or the other way around, actually, you are, in a way, more professional in that, and we have things to learn from you, I think. So when I come to Buenos Aires, my plan is to have a presentation from the CCNSO of how far we have come, and ask for more comments. But this is things we have to discuss now in the proposed outreach to the under point 3, don't you think, that we can find a way to go forward with the next issues we're going to discuss? Hello.
Adam, this is Heather. Yes, I agree with that approach. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, any comments from anybody else? I think it's not the time to go into the details in the document. It's a lot of different views and sources that have come on the table, and that is most useful. But in my view, we should wait a little further till we get in those who haven't had the opportunity to react. And also, the CCNSO as a whole should have a possibility to see.
Susan has raised her hand, Annabeth.
Good thing that you follow.
Oh.
I can't see at all here. Susan, go ahead. Hello?
Okay. This is Lars. I think Susan has put in the chat that her mic doesn't seem to be working, and I think she's dialing in. So
okay.
We might go back to her in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Then she'll come back again. So, it's, yeah. Does anyone else have a comment on this? Nothing? Very, very silent. Okay, if there are no comments further on this point two, let's move on to point three in the agenda, the proposed outreach. And Carlos and I have agreed on he's taking the lead here since this is a GNSO. We can learn from the GNSO here. So could you perhaps, Carlos, say something about the way you do it? And perhaps we could adopt that for the other stakeholder groups as well.
Yes, please. Okay, we have conveyed a meeting in Buenos Aires. I think it's going to be Monday the 22nd at 13 hours, Retiro A. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you will see it in the in the agenda. And we have pushed, as Heather mentioned, we have pushed within GNSO for more active participation, and we're chasing, really chasing the GAC people to take a position if they would like to join forces or participate more active in our cross-community working group, since they have their own working group. They have been some males on that, and we would expect to have a bigger group than last time and really focus on the structure that we have in front of us. I mean, I think we have two axes to discuss. One is the ASCII language as compared with the other internationalized scripts, and the other question that we have put forward is about the definition. I mean, we had a very narrow definition in the two-letter codes, and we're trying to find out what people think about a broader definition, not as broad as the applicant guidebook in terms of going and consulting to communities, et cetera, but a little bit broader definition of what we do mean by country and territory names. Those are like the two main questions that we think we would like to put forward and try to come to terms in that meeting. Thank you.
Okay. This is Annabeth again. I also want to tell you that I've been in contact with the Norwegian GAC representative, Elise Lindeberg. She was quite active in the study group, but she's not been active at all, or she's not even included in this working group for now. But she told me today that they are kind of worried about the whole geographical things, and it's a lot of discussion in the GAC about it. And since Viana have taken most of their time just now, I know that several of the GAC members will try to be more active in the future. The problem is, how long do we have to wait to get their attention? Viana isn't finished at this meeting, for what I can see. Susan, can I come back to you? Do you have your comment? I see you here now.
Yes, thank you. And I'm really sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm sorry. I've been having problems with my microphone. I thought I'd fixed it, but I clearly haven't. And I think whilst I was trying to get connected by phone, you may have been saying that you didn't particularly want to go through the comments that people had put forward and kind of critique them. But I did want to make a point which may come across as doing that, which is just that a number of the comments that have been submitted so far talk about the benefit of maintaining the differentiation between GCTLDs and GTLDs. By maintaining the distinction between two letters being CCs and mm-hmm. not being released for GTLDs. This isn't necessarily a disagreement with that, but I think that that ignores the reality of the fact, which is that some CCTLDs have effectively sold their domain to private usage. So that, for example, .tv or .pw, I mean, they are CCTLDs, but there is no way that they are being operated as such. And so there already is no distinction for some CCTLDs between a CCTLD and a GTLD in practice. And I think we have a number of comments which are talking about a distinction which is already being increasingly blurred, and I think we have to acknowledge that.
And this is Annabeth again. I agree in many of the things you're saying, Susan, but one thing that is a differentiation between the CC and the G is that it, at least in principle, it's the local internet community in the community which has been delegated the two-letter code that decides the way it's going to be used. And in very, very small areas where they don't have the people enough to cover up, to have use only for as a CC, they use it to get some things into their country, and it's the local internet community that has decided how to use it. So I'm not sure if the way to go forward, if we're going to stop using the original CCTLDs as a GTLD that many people feel that they are used as. The way is to remove the distinction at all, because most of them, of the CCs in the world, are used exactly like that. And taking away the differentiation between this, we have to really, really think hard if we're going to do that. So it's not done just because we want to have more GTLDs.
Could I just respond on that? If that's
yes,
okay.
Sure.
I'm not necessarily advocating for releasing the two letters to the GTLDs. I think we just need to acknowledge and reflect the fact that there is already a blurring of the distinction. And so, you know, once you're talking about future usage of two letter codes maybe that have not yet been allocated, I think the justification for retaining them for CCTLDs is maybe not so strong. And I understand what you're saying, that it's the local community that's decided how to use it. And that could be a justification, but that is not maintaining the differentiation between GTLDs and CCTLDs, and it is not avoiding user confusion. That is a different justification, benefit to the local community, if you like, which is a financial and commercial one, but it's not mm-hmm. it's not about user confusion and maintaining differentiation.
Mm-hmm. This is valid point that we should get into the document, of course. So you're welcome to send them in now so we can have them in writing. And at least you have said them now and we have a transcript, and I think that Lars is going to put things in from the transcript as well. So Bart and Paul have their hands up, and also Youngham. Can you start, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. thank you for that. I think you and Susan worked through part of what I was going to say as you were having your exchange anyway, but I think it would be remiss of us in our final documentation not to address exactly what you said, the cultural and regime difference between what has been with two-letter codes and what has been with three-letter codes, to note that it's a historical fact, and the intentions that you mentioned behind it. Group then subsequently discusses that more, whether the status quo should remain. That's a separate mm-hmm. issue. But I think we'll clarify a lot of the points that Susan made by just having a statement of fact of what the history has been and how they've grown differently and the intentions of them are different. So I think that's useful. The other issue I wanted to raise was more getting back to the point you were making a little while ago, Annabeth, about GAC awareness and engagement. I, too, have spoken recently at our usual pre-ICANN meeting with our government. Part of the problem is you mentioned that Elise was quite engaged previously. So was Peter Nettlefold from the Australian government, given that he sat on the group that was they had an umbrella group above the one that was looking at geographic names. That group no longer exists. So their geographic names conversation is somewhat uncorralled now. And Peter himself, who was keeping a watching eye on this, is another casualty because he's moved on to a different area. So Australia will have a new representative. So I share your fears about the discussions and about engagement with the GAC. And I think the way you characterised it as they're talking about geographical stuff, that honestly is about as in-depth as they've recently gotten. And from what I've seen of the GAC agenda, I don't think they really have any time at all in Buenos Aires to address the issue. So it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Paul. Bart?
This is Bart speaking for the record. Just going back to what Suzanne said, and maybe this is more a... some factual background. So in principle, the ISO or say the two-letter code list is limited. That's one. Secondly, which two-letter code will be assigned to for a country and territory is not up to ICANN. It's done by the ISO 3166MA. So in short, it is not a static list, it's a dynamic list. The consequence is, if say, leaving aside whether a future CCTLD will be less or more commercial, which is probably a different debate, is that as soon as say, the line will be blurred, then in principle, the current policy for assigning the two-letter codes, as documented in ROC 1591, needs to change fundamentally, because then potential new countries and or territories are not eligible for the ISO 3166 two-letter codes, which has been assigned to them.
Right. Annabeth, yes, I agree completely, but this is very important to not forget RFC 1591. Youngham?
Yes, thank you. This is Youngham speaking. I'd like to reaffirm my support for what Annabeth has said regarding the CC space having a relatively special status. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that what Bart just said, that the 1591 could, the ISOC list is a flexible one. But I'd just like to make a point that the CC space is representing the many, many different countries of the world, which is a very special space within this domain name system that is very different from the GTLD system. And I know that the CCs do not take all the it by no means will be taking all the two-letter codes in the future, no matter how flexible the ISO list is. But I mean, the detailed use case currently, and this is a point that I made in my written comment before, the detailed use space has all the space above the three-letter code, three-letter, four-letter, five-letter, six-letter. And so I would just like to say that the detailed use space currently has an enormous area in which they can expand. And I know that some people, or many people, would prefer the two-letter codes, but this is a very special space that represents the VC world, and I would caution against opening it up for anything else than other than the VC space. Thank you.
Thank you, Young-Em. Annabeth here again. Paul, you have your hand up still. Is it a new, or have you forgotten to take it down?
I'm sorry, just being lazy, thanks.
Okay. Is there anybody else with their hand up? Yeah, Heather?
Thank you. Heather? Thank you very much. Apologies, I can't put my, I have my hand up virtually,
I know your voice, so that's okay.
You can't see my hand up here. Thank you very much. This is Heather. I wanted to comment on two things. One, Susan's comment. I think we've done a very good job, and it's taken a fair bit of effort in the front end of the document in talking about the background and the context to identify where there are developments. In other words, where the historical or the intentional policy, let's say, has differed over time, so we have a, well, that was then and this is now kind of perspective. And I think that that's very important that we do that not only in the general background context, but as Susan points out, in relation to any of these categories of name that we're looking at the moment, it's two-letter codes. So I do think it's important that we capture what Susan has said, and we do properly reflect on that. I think that's a point very well made. The second comment goes to Annabeth, the what you were discussing before we went down this line, which is the engagement with the GAC. And I can add this, and I'm happy if anyone wants to hear what I've said, you can chase down the transcript of the last GNSO council meeting. I made a very personal comment in the council meeting, almost a plea for help, and Carlos can comment on this if he likes. My comment was this, and I believe I said it in our previous meeting here in the cross community working group, which is I think we're headed for disaster to the extent that we continue on this path of working in parallel to the GAC, and we end up with two different results. Annabeth, it's a point that you've made a number of times, and I take it to heart. So I really brought this to a head within the GNSO Council and said, we really need to sort this out before we go. We bury more months into this cross-community working group, and then someone wakes up and says, oh, yes, but the GAC wants something different. It's not in any way, shape, or form that I think that this working group should be stopping its efforts. It's simply that I think we need to have that discussion, and in my mind, that really needed to be escalated within the GNSO Council, and it has been. Carlos and I discussed it and how we wanted to approach it in the last GNSO Council meeting. So I would like to think that in addition, and it's fantastic that we have more GNSO, let's say, representatives on this call. I think that's wonderful. But I'm very much looking forward to guidance from the GNSO Council in Buenos Aires as to how we manage this sort of political impasse that we have between our working group and the GAC working group. And I don't think it's simply a matter of IANA is sucking everyone's time, because it's sucking everyone's time, not just the GAC. I think that this initiative, and based on Paul's comments, that this is going fairly unchecked in the GAC. I think that sets us up for, you know, as it is, we have a tremendous amount of work to do in this group, and to the extent that that work is made redundant in the end, I'd like to think that we do whatever we can at this stage to prevent redundancy. My comments are reserved for the next 2 weeks, but until we get to Buenos Aires and have some guidance as to how we interact better with the GAC and how we manage this, I'm personally in a watch and see situation. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there so that everyone knows the comments that I raised, and that this is in fact escalated within the GNSO Council. And perhaps, I don't know how the CCNSO Council goes about things, Annabeth, that's for you and Paul and Bart to discuss, and others. I don't know if you folks want to draw this to a head as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Heather. It's useful for us. I think the problem also is that you are in the council. I'm not. Paul is not. So, and we have some different ways of working. So I've been discussing this with Bart, and we have to find a way to do this perhaps better. But I agree with you completely that the GAC is the key, because we can't use so much time as we do, and then suddenly when we have put all these hours and all this effort into it, and then they say, no, we can't do that because we want something else. Is it possible to try to arrange a meeting or at least a short talk with Thomas Schneider during Buenos Aires? Bart? Lars, do you think it will be possible?
Go ahead, Annabeth?
Yeah, Carlos, I hear you. Yeah.
When Heather raised this issue at the last GNSO Council call, Jonathan Robinson wrote down that he was going to take it up with Thomas.
Okay.
We have a clear indication from last time in Singapore when we went, you know, with the GAC. Thomas said that it's a clear priority for the GAC to have something solved before any new round. By that, I don't know if he means country codes or geographic names. You know, this is another issue that.
Yeah. Yes,
the dangers behind. I mean, we have concentrated ourselves really to country names, and we know that the GAC has been burned or has some troubles with wider geographic names that I don't want to mention here, you know. But he said it's in the top of the agenda of the GAC. Jonathan Robinson said last week that he's going to take it up with Thomas, and of course we have to follow up with Thomas Schneider, in Buenos Aires. I don't know how. That was my only comment.
Thank you, Carlos. Anyone else? Do you have more suggestions from home to go forward? Heather again?
Yeah, this is Heather. Very quickly, apologies. My comment is simply this. I wouldn't like to derail that formal engagement between the GNSO Council and the GAC, given that I did put that on the action list, if you like, and Jonathan has specifically taken that up. Well, I wouldn't deny the opportunity to speak to Thomas informally. I would like to see that process, because it is, I think, now a formal one within the GNSO. The GNSO Council is quite concerned. So I wouldn't, let's say, want to schedule any sort of formal meeting with Thomas Schneider that might somehow derail that process, which is why I say I'm waiting, in a sense. I think Carlos and I are waiting for marching orders from Jonathan Robinson and others to see how they feel about it. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. Yeah, their hand up.
Yeah, two things. I think this topic may be, say, useful for us to raise at the joint CCNSO GNSO council meeting on Monday afternoon. I know normally this, say, the cross community working groups and their activities are part of that meeting. So the co-chairs could report back and raise this as an issue for the joint councils. So that's one. As to the CCNSO and its workings, say the council in the CCNSO has a different role than in the GNSO. Going back, and this is something I will discuss with Paul and Annabeth over the next week. So if you want to engage with the CCTLD community, it's more that the members, the CCNSO members of this working group, or the CCNSO appointed members, reach out to the CCTLD community, not so much through council. And if you have an issue, raise it with the GNS or with the CCNSO council at one point. And that's the difference, that say both Paul and Annabeth are not on the council. But either I can raise it on your behalf, or you can raise it directly with the CCNSO Council. But say, I think the most important one is to sync the approach with both the CCNSO and GNSO on Monday afternoon, and you have the opportunity to discuss it further for on Monday afternoon at the cross-community working group meeting itself, and then maybe raise it at the CCNSO GAC meeting on Tuesday as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Bart. We have a lot of things to do in Buenos Aires, that's for sure. Okay. Shall we leave this? And is there more to discuss about how to outreach for the SOs and ACs? What we had on the agenda was the three-letter code, but I suppose the main thing will be to just get a better way to work and to convey our thoughts to the SOs and ACs. It doesn't matter very much if it's two-letter codes or three-letter codes or later full name.
Annabeth, this is Lars. Can I just intervene for a second?
Sure, sure. Hi, Lars.
On this issue. Thank you. So I kind of snuck this onto the agenda for the three-letter codes, but you're absolutely right. We can, in fact, roll this also back to two-letter codes. What we do in GNSO, to give those of you who are not familiar with the processes, what we do in GNSO working groups is once the group gets underway at the very beginning and we have our charter question, before even discussion has started, there's usually a letter has been sent out to all SOACs, regardless of whether they have members on the working group, and to also all the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, to ask them for their views. So these are not formal submissions. They don't take part in any consensus building, but they're basically just, you know, feeling out the community and see what their views are, and it gives the starting point. And it also assures that everybody has been aware, been made aware of the issues being discussed. So I was wondering whether something like this, although a little bit unconventional already for a cross-community working group, due to its very nature, including several communities, whether it might be good to reach out and do something like this, either for the three-letter code or for more. This would be post-BA. You would have to give people some time to respond, and to send out to the leaderships specific questions on the issues we're dealing with and what their views are, and we would then deal with that. We would be under no obligation to take any of it on board, but the experience shows that this often generates very fruitful and helpful discussions. And so I was going to put this to the group if you think it's something that might be useful, and obviously be very happy to assist if you think it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Lars. Talking for myself, I think it's a really good idea. But, Bob, you are the one that knows the CCNSO work better than I do. So what do you think? Wouldn't this be a better way to work?
This is Bart. I think at this stage it might be good to have a discussion first among the chairs and across among the group first, because I think what I know is we may jump on people not aware of it and doing this for the first time with a cross-community working group. Say, even in the accountability and stewardship and the IG, say, what you see is there is a more mature document before sending questions to and asking for specific input from other SOs and ACs. So I'm a bit reluctant of opening up the process right now whilst the working group still is trying to grapple with stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm a bit here. Yeah. I see what you mean.
This is Heather. May I comment?
Sure.
I think Bart raises an interesting point. But I would like to think that perhaps we had discussed in our last meeting and perhaps the meeting before that we're due as we close up our discussion on or transition our discussion from two letter codes to three letter codes. We had it in mind that we would do a progress report at the end of two letter codes, and I suppose that could pave the way for this informal seeking of support. It might be a logical bridging point, if you like, that we have this progress report similar to the progress report we sent around last September. That says here's what we're doing, here's what we've gotten to, and here's where we're going ahead. And that might presage the seeking of formal advice. So that might handle Bart's concerns about confusion as to why are we receiving this. Thank you.
Yeah, that might be a way forward. It's Annabeth here again. And also during the MBA meeting, I have 10 minutes in the CCNSO meeting to give a short presentation on where we are and what we are doing. So at least some of those who are not into this at all will have a little taste of what's going on. So that, I think perhaps it's a good way to talk about this in Buenos Aires. What do you think?
Annabeth and Heather, I fully agree. Say, once you have a progress report, and that's probably what you see, what the study group did and what other working groups are doing as well. Once you have a progress report and have a clear sense of what you're seeking feedback, it's a natural, almost a natural point to seek feedback on the progress made to date without... So people know what is expected and why their feedback is sought. So I think that's an excellent idea of how to say having a progress report, using this to seek feedback, because then it's more a it's clear what you do and what the working group is doing and what is expected of those who provide feedback.
If I can just add to that very quickly, if I may, Annabeth. I completely agree with what everybody says, 100%. I just want to quickly clarify. I think we're talking about two slightly different issues. So sending out a progress report an initial report to seek feedback on achievement is obviously something that I hope we're going to do once we get there, and I think that's a very good way forward. And the suggestion I had in mind was to ask for input on the questions we are faced with, to see what the community thinks about this, relatively ad hoc. And it's something the CCNSO will have received, the council at least, they will have received letters from the CCNSO. They might not have chosen to provide any input, but obviously that's everyone's prerogative. So it wouldn't be an official request that the public comment on something that is that's been achieved. It's an informal outreach to gather feedback and thoughts and to see where everybody stands. So it's a slightly different, it's a slightly different issue. So I think we would hopefully have to make it clear when we reach out. But I wouldn't want to send our strawman paper out right now and say, what do you think about this? That's not what I had in mind. I would send out, you know, we're having this issue of three-letter domains and two-letter domains, explain what the issues are and say, what are your views? Similar to the table we've sent out among group members, in fact, and send something like out to the wider community.
Yeah. Well, I think we can talk more about this in Buenos Aires, and perhaps this is the point for the agenda for the meeting. We're going to meet on Monday from 1 to 2:30. So are there any suggestions for the way to go forward and what we're going to discuss in Buenos Aires for 1.5 hours?
This is Lars on the best. We would complete. So usually, what we would do, because it's an open meeting, is to give an overview of the achievements, and we'll hopefully have a first draft of the progress report by then. That kind of summarizes what we've done since the last report in September last year. So I think that would be good to show the community where we're at. And then I think getting to the nitty gritty of this options table and going through the various points put forward and see how the room and indeed members react to that would be good. And obviously this will be updated up until then.
Yeah, I agree. Heather, did you say anything?
Yes, please. I think Lars is exactly right. I can only endorse what Lars has said. I think it's a good opportunity face-to-face to have that discussion and make comments, substantive comments, as difficult as that is. To do on the fly, if you like, but let's seal off, if we can, our discussions on the options paper. And Lars, I ask, are you able to help us with a first draft of that progress report, or are you swamped between now and BA?
Heather, I have a final report for a different group due by, I believe, Wednesday, 23:59 UTC. And as of Thursday, I'll be working on the progress report. So I'm pretty sure that before I take off to BA, which is Thursday week, I will send out a first draft.
You're a marvel.
Great, Lars. Well, what should we do without you? It's very good to have you.
Really good. My question then is this. How do we deal with... I'm going to ask the million-dollar question. How do we deal with the GAC in Buenos Aires? Do we put time in the agenda for them? Do we put time in the agenda for talking about them? How do we deal with that?
It's Annabeth here. The way I understood, okay, Lars, come on.
No, it's Paul, I believe.
It's Paul. Okay, hi, Paul. And Carlos, as they stand up as well. Go on, Paul.
Sorry, I was just going to chip in my 20 cents worth to respond to the question that was just posed. And I see limited value at the moment in terms of meeting with or talking to, because it's really talking to, it's talking at the GAC. There has been that churn of stakeholders, as I mentioned, and let's not forget Thomas hasn't been in the chair all that long. So I think some sort of behind-the-scenes pincers movement is probably the better thing to do now, whether that first means let's have those conversations with Thomas, let's see what comes from the GNSO approach, and then we move it from there. It's only once we've done that groundwork, and I know we're going back a few steps because we used to have a little more engagement, but I just think it might not be very fruitful to... schedule time with them, and given that this isn't a headline issue at the moment that everybody's concerned with, I could easily see that, we've had it in the past where our 10 minutes becomes 5 minutes, becomes 90 seconds, so I think it'd be optimistic to try to get significant airtime with their plenary in BA.
I agree, Paul. Carlos?
Yes, I just wanted to comment that we have to follow up their meeting on the issue. I understand that the GAC group has grown tremendously by 400%, so it's not only one person, but four countries. And in any case, I will try to follow up when they're planning to meet, and that will be the right time to show up and hear what they're doing. Thank you.
Fine. I agree. We try to find out what they are doing and what they are talking about. Then at least, as Bart said, try to have some mention on it on the council meeting between GNSO and GAC and CGNSO and GAC, and at least make aware where we are and our concerns.
Annabeth, this is Heather, very quickly.
Yes,
sure. I was really referring to our agenda, and I agree with Paul that I don't think it's very fruitful at this stage to have a separate, to try and devote, let's say, time to this in our own agenda, because you know, as it's I suppose the inverse is this then consumes our whole agenda, and I don't want to see that happen. I would like to see the bulk of our discussion be for the substance on two-letter codes and then how we move forward. So I suppose at this stage, to the extent that we address any of this, that should happen. My view is that should happen in any other business, but I'm happy if others disagree and want to make a different point. Thank you.
Yeah. Susan, you have her hand up?
Yes.
Susan, are you there? Yeah.
Yes. Just quickly, and I don't disagree with Heather at all on that, but I was just going to say that I have a meeting this week with the UK's GAC rep, and I believe he's on the geographic working group. So I will try to find out from him how actively they're meeting and so on. I think they've had one meeting recently. I'm not sure how actively they're meeting and whether they're meeting as a subgroup in Buenos Aires or not. I know they are presenting to the wider GAC in Buenos Aires on the Tuesday morning, but I presume that will just be a progress update.
Mm-hmm.
If I find anything useful, I will report back.
Thank you, Susan. I think when we all meet the representatives of our country, we can use the opportunity to say something at least about it. Anyone else that wants to say something or has some good ideas before we close up? Any other business?
And if it's Cheryl here, just my usual awareness, please, during this particular meeting, NOMCOM will subsume just about every moment of my time, so it mm-hmm. is likely that I may not be able to make the face-to-face meetings, but note my apologies, and I will do my
best. We understand that. And it's very good to have you on the meeting every time we have a teleconference, Cheryl, so...
I do
miss
out on this
yeah.
however.
Yeah, you're eager. You're one of the active ones. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Something more we have to talk about? Lars, will this be the last meeting before Buenos Aires? Do you think it's time for more meetings? Or should we leave it at this?
I think it was the last meeting before Buenos Aires. People will start traveling next week. Carlos, however, just raised his hand if he wants to add something.
So many on the list now, so I don't see the hands. Hi, Carlos. Come on.
Carlos, you might be...
Carlos?
Sorry, that was an old hand.
Oh, okay. So this time it's so many participants, so you had to scroll up and down to find the hands. Wait, easy to meet one. All right. Anything else?
There is a trick to that. Get Lars to show you how to change your view, so when you're managing a meeting, you always know who's doing what because it's at the top of the list. So
good. Good. This is my first time, so I'm very inexperienced.
I've already made a final mental note. We'll take care of it at the end.
We go through it.
Well done.
Okay. So then, if there isn't anything more, then I just want to wish everyone a safe trip when we meet in Buenos Aires in a little more than a week.
Yep. Thank you, Annabeth.
Outstanding. Thank you, Annabeth. Fantastic.
Okay. Go and boil.
Bye-bye.